Begin the current Daf Masechtas Chulin Daf Samechei. Begin 6 lines down with the Tabel Yamid. The Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which was defining the characteristics of the kosher and the non-kosher birds. So the Mishnah said, "Avol Amar Chachamah." The sages said that Kol Eif V'Chulu, any bird which they explain that's a doiris, that claws its prey, then that's going to be non-kosher, and etc., where it goes to explain differing opinions and understandings of what would classify something as a kosher or a non-kosher bird. So Tanya, learn the Braisa that elaborates on this halacha. So Rabbi Loimer, as we said from the Chacham in the Mishnah, he says, "Deris va'eichel, if the bird claws and it eats its prey, so be a duishu tummy, so one would know that this is a non-kosher bird." Now, continues the Braisa, Yeshli Etzba Yaseira. Let's say it has, however, an extra finger in towards the back of its claw. Vizefik, and it has a crop. Vikrogavan in Niklef, and its gizzard could be peeled. In other words, and this is relying on the previous statement of Rabbi Gamliel, meaning he said that any bird that claws is not kosher. But that's what we're saying. If it doesn't claw, it's not a dairis. And it has these three identifying features, which in total are four signs. One, that it's not Darius Va'ichel, and it has an Espi Yaseir, it has a crop, and Kukvani Niklef. So that's the four signs of a kosher species. Be a Jewish Utar, so you know it's a kosher bird. Now, Blazber, Tzadik Oimer, he says as follows. Ma'ischan le'chud shal Mashicha, as it was quoted in the Mishnah. That what we do is we draw out a piece of thread of rope. Im chelikis raglav, when it stands on that string, if it divides its fingers, shtayim lekan v'shtayim lekan, two on either side, that's tame, that's a sign that's a non-kosher bird. Shalosh lekan v'achas lekan, but if three fingers going on one side and one on the other side, that's tare, that's identifying feature of a kosher bird. Reb Shimon Lozim, he gives another identifying feature. He says, kol eif ha-koylet min ha-aver, any bird that when you throw it food, it grabs it in its mouth and it catches it in the air, so tame, that's a sign of a non-kosher bird. Which the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Tziparta, which they recognized in Talmudic times as a kosher bird, and that was its name. Nami miklat kalta. What do you mean? It also grabs the food in its mouth in midair. So Mabai said, no koilet va'echel karmin. What we said is a sign of being a non-kosher bird is if it grabs it in midair and eats it where it doesn't land before it hasn't already swallowed it, that's the sign of a non-kosher bird. Yeah, the tziparta could catch it in midair with its mouth, but it doesn't eat it in midair. If it does, then it's a sign of being a non-kosher bird. Continues the Braisa, Acher Maimrim, they give different identifying features. Shachinim Tameim Tame, if it dwells amongst non-kosher species of birds, then it's non-kosher. Imtarim Tar, if it dwells amongst the kosher, then it's kosher. And that has the Gemara come on. Who's this opinion like of the Acherim? Seemingly it's Kribbel Yezer, because the time of the Braisa, Kribbel Yezer, he says, Loi Lechinim Halach Zarzer, it's Loir, if it's not for nothing that the Zarzer bird went to dwell by the ravens, because it's its species, just like the Arv is not kosher, so to the Zarzer. So seemingly this opinion of the Acherim is like Rabbi Eliezer. Says the Gemara, no, Filatim Rabbani, it even says like Drabbanan. Shachin, what the Acherim were saying, is that it dwells amongst that species, Vinidma, and it appears like that Karmin. That's what we're saying, if it appears to them, and it dwells amongst them, then even the Chacham who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer would agree that that would tell us that it's that type, whether it be kosher or non-kosher. Now the Mishnah continued, moving on from birds to Uvechagavim, regarding grasshoppers, or kosh, yesh, lebechula, whatever it has, and they spoke about, as we're going to explain, different identifying features, which would tell us that it's a kosher grasshopper. Now, one of them was that if the majority of its wing, if its wing covers the majority of its body, so that is the Gemara, my Ruba, what does it mean, its wing covers the majority of its body? So Amar Behudim Rav, he says, Rav Arkai, the majority of its length. Now, Vamrila, those that say actually that he said the Rav Hekefai, that it's actually the majority of its circumference. Now, Amra Papa, Hilkach, therefore, as he says many times in Shas, since we say these differing opinions, so you need both. Being a Rav Arkai, being a Rav Hekefai, you need the majority of its length to be covered by the wings and the majority of its circumference. Now, Tanmar Lena Brysom, Ainloy, if let's say it doesn't have one of these identifying features that we spoke about in the Mishnah, which are these what's called kartzulim, these jumping legs. If it doesn't have them achshav right now, but va'asid legadol achazman, it's going to end up growing into them at a later point in time. Kugoyin ha-zachal, like the zachal, which is a type of a grasshopper, a chagov in Aramaic, is called the zachal. So mutter, it's going to be permitted. And Rabbi Lezer B'Yisi, he brings from a pasuk which says, asher loy kira'ayim. It's written with an aleph, what's called loy mit an aleph. But it's read loy mitavav, meaning with a vav, which it's read, Asher Loi Kara'ayim with a Vav, that it has these jumping legs, but it's written without, which tells you, Afa Pisha Inle Akshar, that even though it doesn't have them right now, but Va'as Lagal Lachazman, it's going to end up growing them at a later point in time, that will also be valid to be considered a kosher grasshopper if it has all these signs, even though it's missing those jumping legs right now. And that clarifies the Gemara, Mai Zachel. So Amapai says this Iskira, which that was the type of grasshopper that we're talking about that doesn't have these jumping legs when it's younger, but only grows into it at a later point in time. Now, elaborating on the halacha of our mission regarding the identifying features of grasshoppers and how we know whoever has these four signs are going to be considered a crocus or grasshopper, so talking about learning the brisa. The brisa quotes the pasuk of Vayikra that says, "Es elu mehem toichlu." These are those types of grasshoppers that one is allowed to eat, es ha'arba, v'gomer, etc., which is the conclusion of the pasuk. It says, "The arba limina according to its species, ves ha'salam limineu, ves ha'charg limineu, ves ha'chag limineu." So, explains the brisa, what do we learn now from this pasuk? When it says arba, it mentions four different types of grasshoppers. So arba ze guvai, that's a certain type of grasshoppers, which the Torah is telling you is kosher. Salam ze rashayn, chargal ze nipal, chagav ze gadyan, which those are their names, and those are the ones that are being identified in the Torah as kosher. Now, but then matam alemu, what is the pasuk teaching us when it adds on by each one, as we just quoted, leminoi, lemineu, 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 dalpam, four times by each one, which there's four types mentioned, each one says according to its species, which are inclusionary terminologies. So on that says the Tanya of this brisa, it's lahavi, it's coming to include each one, something that's similar to it. So for example, tzipiris karamim, which is the vineyard tzipiris, which is a type of arba, which just like arba, as the Gemara is going to explain later on, does not have gabachas, it does not have a bald head, so too tzipiris karamim is like arba being included in leminoi, that it's also a kosher type of a grasshopper. So to the Yechana Yerushalmis, the Jerusalem Yechana, which is a type of Salam, which does have a bald head like the Salam. Then you have Varat Suvia that's being included, which is a type of Chargal, which has a tail, in contrast to the first two, don't have tails. That's what's like the Chargal. And Behar Zarvanis, which is a type of a Chagav, which is not similar to any of the appearance of the other ones. Those are the types of grasshoppers that are being included from the species Lemineu, Leminoi, from those four types that say these terminologies. That's one brisa. However, Debeir Bishmol Tana, the Tana of the Yeshiva Bishmol taught the following brisa, which we're going to explain later on. There's one difference between this brisa and the previous brisa. But however, he qualifies the pasuk very differently than Tana of the previous brisa. This that the previous Tana learned from Leminehu by each one, like a prat, which is like specifying, which like the previous Tana only included one species from each word Leminoi. So on that, the Tana of the Brisa Rabbi Shmuel said no. Rather, Elu, these terminologies of Leminoi are klolam. They're not pratim, they're not specifics including one more type of a grasshopper. Rather, they're general terminologies, and therefore it comes out that there are klali klalis. In other words, you're going to have a klal after a klal. What we mean to say with that is that they're seemingly unnecessary, and as we're going to expound, that they're coming to for drushes to expound them, and ve'elu prote pratis. And hence, we also have specifics that come after specifics, which are all coming to give certain drushes. Meaning the specifics that the Torah mentions, you have a klal, as we're going to expound upon, as Tesis explains, where, for example, when it says in the Torah, Ashalei Kara'ayim, that has these jumping legs. So that's a klal. That's included anything that has that. But then when it says Arba and Salam and Chargul, those are specifics called a prat. Then when it says, but each one Leminehu, so that's Chazav a klal, which we know is called klal or prat. The klal, as we'll define, that you come to include things that are similar to the prat. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask that Salam and Chagav, and that's where it's going to clarify this idea that we're saying that it's called Kloli Klolis and Prate Pratis, that those are the seemingly Pratis, the specifics ones, there are four specifics mentioned in the Pasuk, and they seemingly unnecessary. And that's what their Lemineum that's written with them are also Klolim that are unnecessary, meaning we're saying, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel is saying there are Kloli Klolis and Prate Pratis. What does it mean, Kloli Klolis? It means you already had a Klol. And you're then saying other klalos, which seemingly unnecessary. And then you have pratim already that you specified, which already is telling us the klal of prat, because you already have klal and pratim. You have unnecessary klal and pratim, which those are going to teach us other halachas, which again, those are the Solom and Chagav, which we really would know from the Kalal and Prat and Kalal that we already have from the prior ones of Arba and the other ones. And therefore, says the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to learn that certain halachas from those, as the Brisa explains. So when it says Arba, so Ze Goyvoy, that's the Goyvoy one, as we said before in the previous Brisa. Leminoi, when it says according to its type, so that's Lahavi, that's coming to include as a Ketintum and Beis, Tzipar is Karam, like we said, because, yeah, that's a type of Arba, which both of them, as we explained in time of the previous Brisa, both of them don't have a bald head. Now, Ainli Elis, I would only know that you would include a type of a grasshopper, Haba, that's coming in front of us, the Ainli Gabachas, that it doesn't have a Gabachas, meaning that it doesn't have a bald head. I would only know that's what you would include from Arba. Why? Because as we're explaining in this Braisa, there's a Klal Uprata Klal. We're going to expound, like we said, Asha Leikuraim Taichlu, that is telling us that what has these jumping legs you eat, that's a Klal, meaning whatever has that criterion. But then it says Arba, which is a specific type of that halacha. Then it says Liminei, which is Chaz Bakal, have a Klal Uprata Klal. So then you should include anything what's called Ke'ena Prat. It's similar to the specific, which is, this is one of the Yud Gimel Midrash Haturim, the adjustment of the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel, which is similar, that has all the simanim, that it has the four signs that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that are mentioned in the Pasuk, and then the fifth one, which is similar to that of the Arba, which is that it has no Gabachas, that it doesn't have a bald head. But then, Habav Yesh Gabachas, but if let's say this grasshopper comes with all the four signs that we mentioned in the Mishnah, but it doesn't have, but it has a bald head, which is not similar to the Arba, which doesn't have a bald head, Minayin, how would you know that that's also going to be a kosher grasshopper? Oh, Tamaloy Masala. That's the next one the Pasuk mentions. What's Salam? Zenipal, which that has a bald head, and you see the Pasuk says it's kosher. So therefore we know it includes those types of grasshoppers. And then the Pasuk says over there, Liminehu. Again, that's a post-Klal, which is coming to qualify with the first Klal of Asher Lekraim. Again, being a Klal, general term, specific term, and the general term. Which again, we include Ke'ena Prat, whatever similar to that, which that's Lehevi Esa Ushkif, that's coming to include the Ushkif, which same thing would be for the Yuchna Yerushalmis, it's just picking one of the two, which means to say that if it has a Gabachas, has a bald head, is included from this Solemn. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, but we first said Solemn is Russian, and now we explained that it's Nipul. How do we resolve that? But that's what the Bryce is saying. Now, continues the Bryce. Okay, vainly, and I would only know to validate with these two halachas of Klal Prata Klal, one being from Arba and one being from Solemn, Ella Haba, only a grasshopper that's coming, vainly Gabachas, and that it doesn't have a bald head, which that we're including from the Minoy of Arba. Or Habava Yeshla Gabachas, or if it comes and it has a bald head, which that we're including from Lemineu of the Solemn. But, however, it would only know, at least if Habava and Lezanov, only if it comes in front of us and we see that it doesn't have a tail. Because both Arba and Solemn that we mentioned so far don't have tails. But you would still have to have these five characteristics, the four that it says in the Mishnah, which it says in the Torah, and the fifth one being that it doesn't have a tail. But above, Yeshli Zandaminai, and how would I know that if it comes with a tail, which that it's still going to be kosher, and you don't need more than the four signs it says in the Mishnah, that it doesn't have to be that it doesn't have a tail, that even with a tail it is kosher. Tamalei Mechargel, that's what the Pasuk had to say, the third one, which is Chargel, which is a Russian, which has a tail. And then you have Libineu, which that's again Chaz of Akal, saying again the general term at the post, to tell you Ke'ena Prat, which is similar to the Prat of the Chargel, which is Lahavi Esar Karpas, Esar Karsapas, Vesa Shachalanis, and so too says Rashi, the Artsuvi, which I mentioned before. Or actually, it's actually the same one, it's just that he calls it one name and he calls it another name. But it's coming to tell us that whatever similar to the Chargel, which is even if it has a tail. Now, continues the Bryce. Ve'enli el haba, ve'enli gabachas. Okay, so far from these three terminologies that I have, I would only know if it comes and it doesn't have a bald head. Or haba ve'yesh le gabachas, or it comes and has a bald head. Or haba ve'en le'zan, if it comes if it doesn't have a tail. Or even haba ve'yesh le'zan, or even if it comes and it has a tail. Because all those things we just included from those three klaloprata klals, we're doing with each one of those three that we specified in the Torah. But, however, we still would require that it's haba ve'en roi she'arach. That if it comes and the grasshopper does not have a long head, which that's five signs, because all those three that we mentioned don't have elongated heads. However, Reishi Aruch Minayin, how do we know that if it comes and it even has a long head, as long as it has the four signs of the Mishnah, there's still going to be a kosher grasshopper? So I'm going to say as follows. You could learn this out from a building block, meaning a common denominator, from all those three that we mentioned. Because loyri arba kari chargel. Arba is not the same as chargel. Veloyri chargel kari arba, and neither is chargel like arba. Veloyri shnem kari salam, and neither one of those are like salam. And veloyri salam kari shnem, and neither salam like the two of them. In other words, each one has its own identifying feature, and obviously that's not what is the contingent in saying that it's kosher regarding if it has a tail or if it has a bald head or if it doesn't or if it does, because you have some that do have and you have some that don't have, and either way it's kosher. So it can't be the tail or the bald head having or not having. Hatzad HaShav HaShem, what's the common denominator you find by all of them? Eshe Yesh L'Dalad Regalim. It has four legs. V'arba Kunafayim has four wings. V'kartzulim has the jumping legs. And the Kunaf of Chayfin has Ruba, and you have its wings covering the majority of its body. Of course, Yesh L'Arba Raglaim, if as long as four legs, V'arba Kunafayim has four wings, V'kartzulim and the jumping legs, V'kunaf of Chayfin has Ruba, and if its wings covering the majority of its body, even if it has a long head, that's the common denominator that tells us that's going to be a kosher grasshopper. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? What's called Malatzad HaShav HaShem, but we find something by the common denominator that all of them, as we asked, don't have long heads. How are you learning out even one that does have a long head from the Tzad HaShav? But one thing is, and this is what Rashi points out, as we had mentioned earlier, the difference between the Tana, this Brice of the Baby Shmuel, and the first Brice that we brought, the only difference is this drush that we're saying right over here, which the Tana of this Brice of Baby Shmuel is including even if it has a long head, whereas the Tana of the first Brice didn't include that. It just included each one, the specific one similar to that, which, yeah, is including these characteristics that it doesn't need to have or not have the tail or the bald head. But one thing is, by all of them that we mentioned, they don't have long heads. So that's the difference that this Brice is including even those that have long heads, which we're going to ask them, where do you see that from? But first the Brice itself continues and says, wait, v'haloi ha-tzartzer ha-zeh. You have the tzartzer, which is a type of non-kosher grasshopper, that yesh le'aber glaim has four legs, v'dal kunafayim has four wings, v'kartzulim has these jumping legs, and v'kunaf ha-v'chevin has rubayim, yeah, but its wings covered the majority of its body. So yochel yeh mutter. If you're saying so far from the tzad ha-shabbat that all you need is the four signs, then it's kosher, so that should also be kosher. Tamalei Mechagav, that's what the pasuk mentions, the fourth type, which is unnecessary, because it already included anything that's similar to all the four types. Why does it mention Chagav? Sheshmai Chagav, that to be kosher has to be called Chagav, and all those that we mentioned up until now, they're under the general name of Chagav, and therefore they're kosher in contrast to the Tzatzar. Now, Ishmai Chagav, if we only had that, when it says, okay, we have the, it says Chagav, so it sounds like if its name is Chagav, Yochel Ein Bekalas Aman Malol, you would think that even if it doesn't have all those other types, all those other signs, that's still going to be kosher, which the Gemara later on is going to ask, why would you think that? That's if it only said Chagav. It says Harban Chargel, which already we said, we learned that from there, that it has to have these four signs. But that's what the Brice is saying at this point, that, okay, if it says Chagav, you think all it has to do is be called Chagav, even if it doesn't have those four identifying features. That's why it says by Chagav, not only the extra, the specific of Chagav, it also says after that the word Limineyu, which tells you until it has all these signs and it's called Chagav. And this is what the Tana of the Brice had started off by saying, that we have Klali Klalos and we have Prati Pratis, which means to say that you have extra Klalim and extra Pratim, because you have the word Chagav, which is a Prat, and you have Limineyu, which is a Klal, that are superfluous to make a drush. And as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, that by Salam also, that specific and its Klal are unnecessary, and that's Klali Klalos. We have extra Klalim, extra Pratim to tell us other drushes that we're going to learn out from that. Which, as the Gemara goes and asks it as a question, Parach Rav Achai. Rav Achai asked, as we had alluded to earlier, that how are you learning out from here with the Klal Pratim Klal to include anything that has those four signs, even though it has a long head? But Malahanach, what you find over there by the common denominator of all those that you mentioned, Shekein Ein Reish and Arach. They all don't have a long head. And that's actually why, as Rashi explained, the Tana of the first Braisa does not include the long head ones in the kosher grasshoppers. And we know that the Tana of the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel requires that has to be Ke'ena Prat from all sides. So how can you include, even if it does not have a long head? Now, says the Gemara, Surah Vachai, Bechitem, and if you're going to say that, no, because the Tana of the Beir Yishmol holds, that Kivin the Shavu, since it's at least similar in some aspects, Bedal Tzimonim by having the four signs. So then Maisinon. So then we would include it in what's called Klal Pratik Klal to say that it's Ke'ena Prat. It's still similar to the Pratim, at least that it shares those four common characteristics. Whereas Rashi elaborates that in general, there's a Machlekes Tanoim, and every time you have a Klal Pratik Klal, a general term, a specific term, and a general term, where there are those who want to say that the primary klal is the first one. So essentially, it's like a klal prat, which these are all different midas shatari nujeshaben. There's klal prat, there's prat of klal, and there's klal prat of klal. Now, even in klal prat of klal, there are those who say really it's like a klal prat. Now, that halacha is actually in bechal el mashab prat, which means to say that actually you're only going to include the specific, nothing more. Now, here it's a little bit different, because you do have a second klal at the end, which adds on to the prat, but only something that's very similar to the prat in all aspects. Now, there are those who want to say that no, it's actually the last klal that's the primary. So essentially, it's what's called a klal meisav ala prat, which is different than klal and the prat. When you have a prat and klal instead, it actually comes to include everything, because the klal is the second thing that it said. It's the last thing that's being said that's the primary. Now, but here it's not just a prat a klal, because you do have a first klal. That comes to make it a little bit like a klal prat, which comes to include something that's totally not like almost totally not like it. But anything that's at least similar in some aspect, then we wouldn't exclude that because the last klal is the primary, which is like almost including everything, but the first klal is taking away a little bit. And that's what Rebbe Chai is saying. Okay, so maybe you're going to say that Tanya Rebbe Shmuel holds, like the one who says that the klal baster, the last klal is the primary. So it's like really like a prat a klal. Okay, not totally, not including everything, we're taking away something, but it would be enough that whatever similar in like these four different simanim, even though it's a little bit different than the pratim in the sense that it has a long head and they all have short heads, and therefore v'lo brachin, we won't ask that question. But that says Rav Acha, you can't say that. Because if that would be the case, then take as follows. Chargul nami d'shavalahu. Then chargul that also has the four signs that's similar to the other ones mentioned in the Torah, like lichtif. Don't write that specific. V'teisim arba v'salam. And learn it out from the two types of arba and salam. Now, although they don't have a tail and chargul has a tail, but Ella, what's the reason why you wouldn't learn it out from them? Because ikla mifrich, you would ask the question and say, malahanach shekein en limzanav. You would say, well, how can you learn from them? They don't have a tail. So what you see from here is obviously the Baby Shmuel holds that it's the klal kama that's ikr, not the klal basa. Klal basa, so it's not similar with a tail. Okay, it doesn't have to be totally similar in all aspects, as long as it's pretty similar, has all the four types. You see from the braise itself, from the pasuk, that it's not like that, that you wouldn't learn it out. So therefore, you're back to the question. So here too, you could ask on the Beirub Shmuel, Malahanach Shekin Ein Rishon Arach. How you learning out from the Tzara Shava? Obviously, you hold Beirub Shmuel that the Klal Kama is primary, and if it has to be totally similar to include it. Now it's not. They all have short heads, and this one has long heads. How are you including it? Even though it has all the other four signs that we mentioned in the Mishnah. So Elam Rav Achai, rather he says, and this is actually what we were alluding to earlier, which fits well with the theme of the Beirub Shmuel when he says, Kloli Klolim and Prati Pratim, is actually Solom Yiseiruhu. We know this because the specific of Solom is actually superfluous. Why? Loi Lichat of Rechman Solom. The Torah didn't have to write Solom. V'teisi ma'arba mechargel. You actually can learn it out from the common denominator of Arba and Chargel, which has all the four types. Because Demai Parachta, what would you ask to refute the Tzara Shabbat, the common denominator? If you're going to ask, well, how could you learn Mala Arba? How can you learn the Solom from Arba? The Inlo Gabachas, which doesn't have a bald head. And Solom does. But then you would say, no, Hari Chargel. Chargel will disprove that. The Yeshle Gabachas, it has a bald head. And therefore you would know Solom from there. Oh, but then you would say, well, Mal Chargel, how can you learn from Chargel? The Yeshle Zanav has a tail, in contrast to the Solom. But then Hari Arba Dein Lezanav. You have the Arba that doesn't have a tail. And you would do what's called Chazra Din. It would go back and forth and say, well, this can't be the reason because this other one doesn't have it and this one doesn't have that. You would then say, okay, what's the common denominator of Arba and Chargel that are mentioned in the Torah that they're kosher? Is that they both share these four characteristics and they don't have long heads. So Solom the Kasav Rechman Olam Ali. So why does I need the Torah to say Solom? It also has those four characteristics and doesn't have a long head. Oh, so rather because it's telling us the following halacha. In Ligufa, if it's not teaching us anything regarding Solom, because Solom you would know from a common denominator of Arba and Chargel. So that's one of the Yud Gam Amidus that the Torah tells us that something that that's not, it's one of the midas that turn to Jashaban, which is something that's not necessary for its own context, you then place it for a different context. So Tinei Inyan L'Roshe Aruch. So it's not teaching us anything for the Solem, must be coming to include something else, which is going beyond of what we know so far in the Pasuk, that you're right, the Tzad HaShava is only if it has the four signs and it doesn't have a long head. But Solem you would have known, just like we said Chagav, we said, what's that coming to say? So it's coming to see, that's Kloli, Klolim, and Prati, Pratim, which come to teach that it has to be called Chagav, to exclude the Tzartzer. And the Mineu says, but besides, it also has to have the four signs. But then we said also Solem are also Kloli, Pratim, that are extra. Kloli, Klolim, Prati, Pratim. Because you would have known it from the Arba and the Chagal. And that's what we're saying, that the reason why he's saying is to actually come to include something else, which is even if it has long heads, as long as it has the four signs, it's also going to be included in this halacha of being considered a kosher grasshopper. Again, that's the difference between this brisa and the previous brisa, which they're coming from a different context, which that was coming to include in these limineu as pratim specifics, where it already mentions the klal of the types that we're talking about, and those specifics were coming to include limineu other specifics. Here we're saying that no, actually limineu is a klal. We have a prior klal in the beginning, which it says the general category of the four signs, and it says specifics of the four types, then it has klal at the end. But there are some unnecessary klal prata klals. And that we're saying for this last one of the Salam, that's coming to include the halacha of those that are not exactly similar to the Tzad HaShava, even though it has a long head, that's going to be included in being considered as a kosher grasshopper.